Good morning. You are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Welcome to the Husky Nation News Show. Here, we tell you all the news you need to know about the University of Connecticut, courtesy of the WHUS News Department and the UConn newspaper, The Daily Campus. I'm your host, Kara Murray. Let's get started. Students are still concerned about the bus line routes and the reduced on-campus parking, so much so they met to discuss what they're going to do about these problems. Andrew Miano covered this story for The Daily Campus. Miano says students met on Monday night in McHugh Hall in response to a Facebook post made by senior Omar Tawe. Tawe's post says the goals of the meeting were to produce a list of demands for the transportation department and to create a plan for moving forward. Shortly before the start of the fall semester, UConn Transportation Services announced brand new changes it would be making to the bus lines. Blue Line now services the Charter Oak, Busby Suites, and Sea Lot areas, while Green Line makes stops at Mansfield Apartments, Price Chopper, and Buckley Hall, to name a few. Tawe says the biggest problems with transportation on campus are the inconsistency of and lack of ability for the bus system to address on-campus students' needs. He also says there's a lack of parking on campus and that the parking that is available is poorly distributed. UConn spokeswoman Stephanie Reitz has responded to the complaints and says that the campus was not designed for cars and that students must learn to adapt to the restraint. Reitz says UConn is no different than other 100-plus-year-old universities that have evolved over time to have very little parking in its core. She says these campuses are designed as walking campuses, and that it can be frustrating to students who have been used to driving and parking right next to their high schools or in front of their homes. She says it's one of the many differences that's inevitable in college life, and that's seen nationwide. Tawe says he will continue to try and work with the university to solve students' parking problems. However, he says he acknowledges the possibility of an organized student response. Another big topic of discussion on campus are the midterm elections. Daily Campus staff writer Gabby DeBenedictis reports that the University of Connecticut College Democrats have endorsed Democratic nominee Ned Lamont for governor, and they will be working with members of Lamont's campaign to encourage voter turnout in the November 6 elections. The College Democrats will collaborate with Lamont's student organizing director, Lucas Bladen, through door knocking, phone banking, and raising awareness for the campaign. Bladen says he'll be working to lead outreach and to mobilize students at university campuses around the state. He says given that UConn is the state's flagship public college, he would like that to emanate out from here. He says, "We're going to have UConn lead the charge." Benedictus reports that the College Democrats will also be working with the Mansfield Democratic Town Council to get out the college vote. UConn College Democrats President Steph Goebel says one of the club's largest goals for the semester is to work towards electing Democrats to the House, Senate, and Connecticut General Assembly. Aside from campaigning for the upcoming elections, the club is also hoping to diversify and bring in more voices to contribute to their discussions. On the other side of the aisle, the University of Connecticut College Republicans have endorsed the Republican candidate Bob Stefanowski for governor. Again, this story was written by Gabby DeBenedictis. UConn College Republicans President Sean Chilson says the club believes the five-step plan Stefanowski developed with economist Art Lafer will provide economic incentives for companies to invest in Connecticut. Stefanowski's official campaign website outlines this five-step plan. It consists of phasing out corporate income tax and business entity tax over 2 years, phasing out state income tax over 8 years, eliminating gift and estate taxes immediately, embracing zero-based budgeting to reduce spending, and enacting a taxpayer bill of rights. Chilson says the College Republicans have been in touch with multiple groups to assist with campaigning for Stefanowski and for other Republican candidates. The club's goal for the semester is to spread the message of the Connecticut Republican Party. Chilson says, "November's elections will be a pivotal moment in deciding the future of our state, and that Connecticut needs passionate Republican leaders who will put the state back on track for the prosperity we once enjoyed." Now, we'll be moving on to a story that was written for the Daily Campus by yours truly, me. On Wednesday night, the UConn Youth for Socialist Action student group hosted a screening of a film that chronicles the GI movement against the war in Vietnam. The featured film was Sir, No Sir, a 2005 documentary directed by David Zeiger. It explores the impact the movement had on the ending of the war through archival material and interviews with celebrities such as Jane Fonda and Donald Sutherland, and why it is so largely overlooked today. YSA President Wyatt Mund says he hopes the event will not only be fun for those who attend, but also highlight the club's serious belief in overcoming odds and joining together, themes that can be found in the movie. The YSA is one of the newer clubs on campus, having only formed about a year ago. They aim to reject our current capitalist society for a more socialist one and achieve change through mass movements of people. Independent Socialist Senate candidate and anti-war veteran Fred Mitch Link also spoke at the event and led an open discussion and Q&A after the movie. Munn says that Link was a big source of ideas for the club's direction. He came from a lower-class family and joined the military out of high school, but quickly became disillusioned with it while serving in Iraq. He was shot while on active duty, and while his physical injuries healed, he was still left with PTSD. Munn says that Link came to the understanding that the people he was being told to kill had more in common with him than the people who were ordering them to kill each other. In addition to appreciating the history of the documentary, Munn says the club hopes it will suggest that even average working-class people can still end wars and oppose power systems. As you all know, a series of heat waves have been hitting the campus this past week. Daily Campus correspondent Peter Goggins says that ends today. Goggins reported that temperatures have reached 94 degrees Fahrenheit several times in the last week of August and then spiked again on Labor Day. Goggins says students have also been complaining of the humidity, which reached 85% on Tuesday night. These high temperatures have contributed to a drought in Storrs campus in the past. The heat wave was supposed to end by today, and thankfully it seems like things have cooled down a bit. The Involvement Fair was held on Wednesday, where over 500 clubs and teams gathered on Fairfield Way to attract new members. Despite the heat, it was a huge success. To see photos of all the action, check out WHUS reporter Adam Hutchins' gallery on WHUS.org. That's all the news we have for you for this morning. We are going to take a short break before we welcome our guest, WHUS News Director Daniela Doncel, onto the show.
Hi, everyone. This is Javon sending greetings from UConn Women's Center. Our mission at the center is to advocate, educate, and provide a variety of support services geared towards the achievement of gender equity at the university and within the community at large. We provide a safe and welcoming space for all, yes, men, even you, to enjoy. We provide all of this while maintaining open-mindedness and showing respect for all in times of crisis as well as in day-to-day interactions. Our doors are open between the hours of 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Mondays through Thursdays and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Fridays. We are located on the fourth floor of the Student Union, so please feel free to stop on by, even if it's just to say hello. To find out more about our events or just more information, you can check out our website at www.womenscenter.ucon.edu. Thanks for listening.
And we are back from that short break. We'll now be moving into the discussion portion of our new show. Please note, from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this Husky Nation news broadcast are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. Joining me this week is WHUS's very own news director, Daniela Doncel. Hi, Daniela. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. This is scary, but...
This was your first show. How did it go? How do you think it went?
I think it went pretty well.
Yeah.
Despite all the technical difficulties we had.
Oh, I know.
But I think it's going well so far.
Yeah. As advanced as we are with technology, like... we still have some work to do.
Yeah, we do. This whole thing. You'd think that I would kind of know my way around here by now, but, you know.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day. It's fine.
Totally.
So I saw via your Instagram that you were in Colombia this summer. What was that like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was in Colombia for about a month and a half doing... I was visiting family, actually, with my mom and dad, and we live in a little town called Palmira, which is right outside of Cali, and it's beautiful. It was really hot, but it wasn't like muggy like it is here. Mm-hmm. It was like good temperature. I went swimming. The best thing I did was horseback riding up the mountains.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was really fun. I've done it multiple times before, but this time was the best. It was the best out of all of those times because usually every time I do that, I get the most rebellious horse that doesn't want to listen.
That's scary.
Yeah. And so this time I got a very calm horse who just wanted to, you know, take its time. And I was like, thank you.
That's more your speed.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, it was great. It was a lot of fun.
That's fun. I know. How many times have you been to Colombia?
I've been to Colombia every summer of my life since I was 1 year old.
Oh,
Yeah, I've been going every summer to visit family. My mom used to send me. So my mom wanted to make sure that I didn't lose my Spanish when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I used to live in Hartford when I was very much a child. And the preschool I went to was a bilingual school. And so I spent a lot of time speaking Spanish. But then we moved to a more predominantly white school or neighborhood where the school was predominantly white. And so I kind of lost it a little bit. So she would do things like make me watch soap operas in Spanish, telenovelas, so I can learn the language. And then another thing she would do was send me to my family in Colombia. And so I would spend, when I was younger, it would be like 2 months, and then it kind of whittled down because of school and everything. I went every summer, and the only time I didn't go actually was for 2 years between my sophomore and junior year of college because I studied abroad in Paris.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and it was so strange because when I went back this summer, I was like, I kind of forgot how this works. I was like, I hadn't seen anyone in years. Everything looked the same except for my baby cousin who I met her when she was an infant and now she's 5.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, how did that happen? So it was a whole thing. And yeah, it was very definitely. And the weird part about it is because I'm like older now, I realized that they have I didn't know how like elections worked over there, and we were going through presidential elections over there, so I got to see kind of like the political environment there. I'm not big into politics, but it was actually kind of interesting like the town we live in. We're one way, but my family was the completely different way. It was strange. It was very strange. Exactly. I was like, I am happily indifferent.
Switzerland.
Exactly.
That's funny.
Yeah.
You said you went to Paris for an exchange program.
Yeah.
I love Paris.
Oh, me too. I love Paris.
It was so beautiful.
When did you go?
I went, I guess it was the summer before my senior year of high school.
We did
10 days in Europe. So it was 5 in London and 5 in Paris.
Oh,
it was
that's
just
so nice.
The best. I was so sick though.
Oh no.
I got like the plague on the train there.
No.
That's what I think, because I was just dying.
The Black Death.
Literally, I honestly think it was the Black Death from England, because I was just dead.
Oh,
died.
That's awful.
Done. But yeah, I remember it was still so beautiful that it made an impact on me. And I remember it from my sick haze. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I was in Paris for 4 months. Well, 3.5.
Oh,
but it was a great time. And all my friends that were there, that were all, because we went as a group of study abroad, most of the students were in a place called the Fondation.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually had my own apartment with a friend of mine.
Ooh.
And we got to see, if you craned your neck just enough, you could see the Eiffel Tower from
Ooh,
my window.
That's beautiful.
I was like, oh, this is the life.
That's so nice. It's so pretty there.
Oh, so great.
You almost forget that they kind of don't like Americans.
I know. That's the first thing they ask you.
Yeah.
They're just like, so what do you think about this topic that is like very American? So like when I was there, President Trump became the president, and so they were just like, well, what do you think about him? And I'm just like, why don't we get coffee and not talk about that?
Let's just avoid that entire
Let's
subject.
Have a good discussion.
Yeah, none of us like talking about it, trust
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
So you are a senior this year.
Oh, don't remind me.
You'll be leaving us soon.
I know.
Which will be very sad.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans for after you graduate?
I have a few. So for people who don't know me, I do 3 major things. I'm like in 3 major slots at college. One of them is news and journalism. The other one is French. I'm really involved with the French department. And then the other one's creative writing. I do a lot of creative writing and poetry and short stories and novels. So they're very different. And so people are just like, oh, so what are you going to do? Are you going to teach? Are you going to do this? Everyone has their ideas. And I'm like, for the longest time, I had no idea. And to this day, I still kind of don't have an idea, but I'm getting there. I think right now the way it's going to work out is, so one of my big things I want to do that I've wanted to do since I was in middle school was publish a book. So I've written the book. It's about 500 pages. And I am I'm starting the process to look for an agent to actually publish that.
That's exciting.
I really want it to work out. So that's one of my biggest things. And then the other thing I want to work on is getting an internship when I leave here, because I don't have time to get an internship while I'm in school. And I'm not mad about the idea of getting an internship, even if it's unpaid, and do just like another job like during the summer or something, mm-hmm. and then go into journalism. Because as much as I love French, I really did just take it because I like speaking it and I like the culture. So I was very interested in, you know, learning more about like the Parisian life and everything. So, but no, definitely my heart is in writing. And that's what I definitely plan on continuing when I leave here.
Yeah, that novel. So let's go back to that. What's that about? That sounds so interesting.
So it's a fantasy novel.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's about, it's a little difficult to explain, but the whole premise of it is that there's in this empire called Ethissa. And in this empire, there was a winter's war 50 years ago. And because of this war, these group of people called diviners, who are people who can perform magic, were banned and just expelled and sought out and hated upon because of this war. Well, 50 years later, they still are holding on to this like hatred for these diviners. And however, there's one exception, this myth that they love talking about named Philora. And she's like a really positive representation of diviners. Everyone loves her, and she's beaten trolls, and she's done all these, they have a bunch of stories about her. Well, 50 years later, there's this crew of men who are given a quest by the queen to look for a magical tablet in a place called the Unknown Lands. And in these Unknown Lands, they have to find this magical tablet. However, because they're not diviners, they don't know where it is. And so the queen tells them, listen, Philora is actually a real person. You have to go find her. So these men, who obviously aren't diviners and are afraid of diviners, are first of all confused. They don't know how this is even possible. And besides the confusion, they're terrified because they call them witches. They think that they're dangerous. But because it's under the queen orders, they say, all right, well, we'll have to do this. And so the whole story is them meeting Philora, whose actual name is Faye, and they go out on this adventure to search for this magical tablet. And along the way, they learn not only how to accept her for who she is and learn what divination actually is all about. There's a lot of relationships between the people in the crew. Like there's two brothers who are in a feud, and there's a best friend, two best friends that are fighting. So there's a bunch of different relationships that I explore in the novel, because one of the main themes I like to work on is the relationships between people and how people communicate, how people, you know, how to develop relationships, and as well as the idea of legacy, because the whole idea of it is that Philora is this myth, she's this legend, but then there's the actual human being, which is Faye, and she's a diviner, and what her real story is and how that works. So yeah, that's my story.
That is so cool. I give major props, honestly, to people who can write fantasy, because that in itself, because you have the whole world building thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have, I mean, you can do kind of anything you want, but it still has to make sense.
Absolutely.
In your own world.
Yeah.
So what made you want to write fantasy instead of crime or like young adult or anything? What drew you to fantasy?
That's a really good question. I think part of it is because of all the books that I liked reading were mainly fantasy. So my favorite childhood book was a book called The Phantom Tollbooth by Norton Juster.
I love that book.
Oh, it's such a good,
I
kid you not, I've read it at least 20 times.
I loved that book.
The way Norton Juster uses language and creates this entire world based on just like puns, essentially.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
It's so smart.
And so I really fell in love with the idea of using, I use very flowery language. So using language in a way that says something, but it's still like the language itself is what I like to focus on, besides what they're actually saying. So it's kind of fun for me, as nerdy as that sounds. But the other thing is a lot of epic trailer music I listen to a lot that inspires me. So like a lot of the music that you listen to in like Marvel trailers or something like that, I listen to them without the trailers, and they kind of spark inspiration in me. I'm also an only child, so I spend a lot of time on my own. And I get very bored of reality very quickly. And I'm just like, I live reality every day. Why would I want to write about it? I understand people like to write autobiographies, but I'm just like, I've lived it. I know what I did yesterday. Sometimes I have a bad memory, but sometimes I know what I did. I don't want to write about that. I want to write about something completely different. And honestly, I like to think of it this way. As a human race, we're trying to explore like the wonders of outer space, right? Mm-hmm. And then we're trying to learn like the depths of the sea and like the ocean, and we still have so much to learn. I'm a college student who can't actually do that, you know? Like,
true.
So there is actually one space on this planet that I can explore without any like money or training or anything. That's literally your imagination. Our imagination is so vast, it's insane. And so I think exploring your imagination is really good. No, even if you're not a writer, I think it's just fun and you deserve to have fun.
It's true. Yeah, being a writer, definitely, you're very much in your own head.
For
a
sure.
lot of the time.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever talked about this, but working at the radio, and we've never talked about what kind of music you like.
Honestly, that's a really good point. So like I said, I listen to a lot of like classical, but not like Beethoven classical, like just a lot of instrumental music, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like the Narnia soundtrack is one of my favorites. A lot of fantasy soundtracks I'm just really into. But besides all that, I listen to... I do. There is on occasion I listen to like the regular pop that are like very popular. I really like Nicki Minaj. I'm a huge fan of Eminem, but those are when I'm in like in a certain mood. Mm-hmm. So besides that, I'm really into indie folk music. I don't know why, I just really love it. One of my favorite bands is Lord Huron, and I just love their music. They did indie folk a little bit, and so now they're going into indie rock, and I'm vibing with it. I really like it. And besides all that, I do actually listen to a lot of foreign music. So there's this one person who I think, I'm going to get this wrong, but they're from somewhere in Northern Europe. And the person's name is Yonzi, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And he does a lot of interesting sounds in his music because it's not like your typical music. It's like he plays with sound a lot. And it's not about the lyrics. It's not even about the beat. It's just the different types of, like, it's almost like he's playing with the sound waves. It makes no sense until you hear it, but it was really, I really enjoy it.
So cool. Yeah, I find I like to listen to a lot of soundtracks when I'm studying.
Yeah.
Because I think music with words, I have to be listening to music no matter what I do.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference between me and my roommate. She only really listens to music when she's walking to class, whereas, like, in the car, if I'm studying, if I'm just lying on my bed, I just have to be listening to it. So I need to have a different music for different kind of situations and moods. So I think soundtrack a lot of the time is for studying because words kind of distract me.
Yeah, it's really great for concentrating,
yeah,
I find. Yeah,
it really is.
Definitely.
So you, as I mentioned before, are the news director here.
Mm-hmm.
It's your last year. I mentioned that before too. So what are your kind of goals here for your last year as news director? What do you hope to accomplish?
I think I really have two main things. The first one being that I really want to focus more on broadcasting. So I'm taking a broadcasting course right now, and I want to implement everything that I learned there here. And I genuinely don't even want to do it for like my portfolio, as helpful as that is. I really just kind of want to learn and be able to feel natural in front of a microphone and not be afraid to be spontaneous while still having that kind of news professional air about myself. And then the other thing is I really want to focus on community because I made a lot of great friends here. And like the news department really is like I'm actually not a big fan of news, which is hilarious. I only got into news because it was just like they kind of teach you news. That's all they kind of teach you in journalism. And I fall in love with it, don't get me wrong. But it's like not my first choice. Like I personally like human interest stories and stuff like that. But I really do enjoy coming in every week and saying, okay, what story are we going to work on this week? And the one thing that I really love is getting to work with the people who are part of the department. So people who have never used Audition before, I can teach them how to use it in a way that makes sense for them. Like I remember one time I was helping another news department member, Sarah, She had never used a board, never used like these kind of microphones. Like all the equipment we have was completely new to her. And so she was getting ready for an interview that she was doing for someone coming into the studio. And so I was helping her figure everything out. And I was like, listen, you might want to have your headphones on to keep an ear on all the audio. But if you want, you can actually just push off one of the headphones off your ear and keep the other one on, so you don't. It doesn't seem like you're being rude and ignoring your guests. And she was so cute. She was just like, "Wait, I can do that!" And she did. She actually did it. She moved the actual headphone one side of it off her ear, pushed it to the back. She was like, "I feel so professional. This is awesome!" And that gave me so much joy. And I was just like, "It's the little things. This is why."
Real DJ.
I know. I was like, "Really? You've never done that before?" But it was so cute. And I was just, so little moments like that make me really appreciate the position I'm in, and really make me want to come back every single day and say, okay, you don't want to write this article, that's fine, let's do a photo gallery. Or, oh, do you want to learn how to interview? Come interview with me and we can practice. Just giving people that space, because at the end of the day, like, the classroom environment, as important as it is constricted. And so when you're in a space like this where we're a lot more open, a lot more loosey-goosey, I feel like it's just, you learn better that way, because there's good memories attached to it, and you'll remember, or even bad memories that will just make you jump and say, oh, let me not do that again. But overall, I think the community here is so amazing, and I'm going to miss it when I'm gone, but I want to make sure that the community stays after I'm gone for other people who need this community.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah, I can remember coming in as a freshman, and my parents were pushing me so hard to do the radio, so hard. So I joined, and that's actually why I was subscribed to the WUS newsletter.
Oh,
long,
no way.
Because I did the training, I took all the classes, and then I was just still so overwhelmed with, like, yeah, just here's this board, you know, do your thing with it. And I was like, what on earth?
Like, what are all these buttons?
Yeah, so I was like, you know, maybe I'll take a step back for a second. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Then last semester, I was like, you know, I'm a journalism major, and I'm halfway through my college experience, so right. It's time that I either start working for the Daily Campus or actually put my radio training to use.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then that's why I was kind of like, hey, can I come join? And it was just so crazy how you kind of come in and instantly you feel welcome. Like, even people who aren't part of the news department are so welcoming and will talk to you if you're just hanging out. And yeah, you really do make a lot of lifelong friends here.
So true.
It's true what they say.
It's very true.
And then I did end up writing for the Daily Campus, so it worked out. Yeah, I was like, I'll be the bridge between there. Speaking of news, what is your opinion on the news that happened this week, especially the controversy over these bus lines?
So I actually don't have any opinion on the bus lines, because I don't use them. I used to use them as a freshman. And you know what? They were great when I was a freshman. I used Orange Line because I lived at North.
Mm-hmm.
And Orange Line was very convenient, very
absolutely.
Short route. It was great. But then as I moved off of campus and did all that whole thing, I kind of stopped using the bus routes, and I was just, and I don't like go to the gym, so like walking around campus helps with like the whole physical education thing. Yeah,
that's your gym.
Yeah, that's my gym. Going up the stairs. So I have no opinion on that. The parking, however, is very much an issue. I take issue with it. I park in F lot, which, for people who don't know, if you know campus, it's basically right behind Sergeant Pep's.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's far. And so during the summer, it's all right, because it's like, it's not terrible of a walk, because I go straight to the Union and it's kind of right there. But once, like today, it was raining so hard, and I'm here thinking, if I have to walk through all that rain, I'm going to lose it.
Yep.
And it's going to get worse with all the winter. And so, yeah, I think, I don't know what they're doing. I'm like... I'm like really confused. I do have one very big issue with the bus lines that have nothing to do with the buses, but one modification they did. If you go, I wish I knew the name of the road. If you go, if you take a right at where the church is,
yeah,
which is right near the Dairy Bar,
yeah.
If you take that right there and you go down in your car, there's this little section where you can actually take a left and go towards like Austin and the infirmary.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most convenient thing on campus.
They blocked it off.
They blocked it off and they made like this little cobblestone stepping. I'm like, who's gonna walk there?
Yeah.
No one.
Nobody.
You've literally just made And my friend was just like, oh, it's probably a safety thing. I'm just like, you cut off the most easiest route to the infirmary.
Yeah.
And you have to go all the way around North Garage just to come back all over. I think it's the dumbest thing. I don't know why I'm so passionate about it, but it really gets me mad.
I actually experienced that yesterday. I was waiting for Blue Line and I waited about 20 minutes. It didn't come. So I had to call my roommate and ask her to come get me. And instead of being able to take that left and go back, we had to go all the way around back up to Charter Oak. So it was a nice quality drive, but not very convenient because I was really hungry. So.
Not convenient at all. Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do. I think they've made it, like, I think my biggest issue also is there's a commuter lot that was above or next to McMahon that they've now made into half commuter lot, half area two. Yeah. And I'm like, and honestly, that commuter lot's fairly small. Like, I mean, there's plenty of space up there for a lot of people park there, but it's fairly small compared to like the bigger ones that are around. And I'm like, you're going to really do that to students when you know students already complain about parking enough and you're just going to make things even more difficult? I just don't. Who made these decisions?
I don't know. I'd like to have a few words, though.
Me too. Like, I need to write a strongly worded letter.
You really should. We should put it on the website, a strongly worded letter.
Exactly.
That might get stuff done. Probably not.
Yeah.
I think that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much, Daniela, for speaking with me.
Thank
you.
This
has been very informational.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening in on this show. Thank you to the Daily Campus for collaborating with us. And thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our intro and outro music. I've been your host, Kara Murray, and you are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Have a great day, everyone.